1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. We continue our study today on the book of 1 Corinthians. And it's one of a four-part message. And this is message 4. Okay? Chapters 5 and 6. And sometime they're... These have been messages that have been kind of tough, to be honest with you. You may be thinking, Brother Doug, you think they're tough. You should have to listen to them. Well, you should have to preach them. But you know, we have to take the whole counsel of the Word of God. You know, we can't skip any part that's difficult. And so that's my challenge to you is let's take this, the Word of God, seriously, and let it change us, okay, for the glory of God. So would you stand with me as we read about real people with real problems, and of course the problem being sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12 says, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food's for the stomach, and the stomach for foods. But God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God has raised up the Lord, and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside is outside the body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Michael, would you lead us, please?
Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here today, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercies in our life, Father. We are a sinful people, and you are a gracious God, and Father, we thank you. We ask that you endow our pastor with the special privilege this morning to preach this very difficult word, Lord. Help him to speak with clarity and with your truth and open our hearts and our minds. Be soft to your spirit, to hear your spirit calls. Give us new faith in Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. And I do want to keep this on a PG level. It is a very difficult subject. So please pray for me as we enter this message. And the first thing that we see Paul writing about in this text is a sexual society. You see, there was a phrase in Corinth at the time of this writing, and that phrase was to live like a Corinthian. That was the common phrase of the day. And it actually meant, it carried the idea of practicing the sexual immorality that was so prevalent in that society. You see, in Corinth, Corinth was a center for wealth and trade and luxury and excess. And in the city of Corinth was the temple of Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love. And in that temple were 1,000 temple prostitutes. Every evening that those 1,000 temple prostitutes would descend upon the city of Corinth to sell their wickedness. And of course, that was a great attraction for the city of Corinth. It was, people would flock to participate in the immorality. As you look, you know, and think about the way they were in Corinth, I'm sure, and you kind of, from reading this, you get the feeling that the thought was prevalent in Corinth that, hey, everybody does it. Everybody does it. And what they're doing is they're justifying a sinful lifestyle. As a matter of fact, as you read in verse 12, Paul says, all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. You know what they're doing there is they're justifying their lifestyle. Their statement is, well, it's not illegal, and I'm sure they kind of Christians, they knew they had God's forgiveness, and so that kind of, they were taking that as a license to participate in the immorality. Imagine yourself, if you would, a life without limitation. You see, that's where in today's world we seem to have the hang up, you know. Don't tell me what I can or can't do. And actually, Paul is not telling you what you can or cannot do. He's giving you a better way. Okay? Paul, as he says, all things are lawful for me. Can you imagine where you are right now? Teens as well as adults, you can do whatever you want to do. If you're married, you can choose to commit adultery. It's not illegal. And after all, your wife or your husband, your spouse, may never find out. You can choose to be a drunkard. It's your life, it's your choice. It's not illegal until you get behind a wheel and then it's illegal. You can choose to fill your computer with pornography. You can choose whatever you want to do. But there is no justification when you, as a child of God, look at it and say, and I've heard Christians make this statement, well, I'm not hurting anyone but me. You ever heard that? I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not hurting anybody. I don't see anything wrong with it. As a matter of fact, that's the attitude at Corinth when he says food's for the stomach and the stomach for foods. Paul is, you know, if you don't stop and think about what he's saying here, you won't get it. But what he's saying is it's natural. When we get hungry, what do? We eat, right? Why? We eat because we're hungry. That's the natural thing to do. That's the way that God made us. And the reason Paul throws that in there is because they look at sexual immorality as an appetite. That they would back up and say, hey, God made me this way. It's just a simple fact of nature, and since it's a simple fact of nature, I should pursue to have these facts of nature satisfied. I don't see anything wrong with it, they would say. And what it led to was a society that was sex crazed. Now, has anything I've said so far sounded familiar to you? It's my life. I can do what I want to. I don't see anything wrong with it. Don't tell me what to do. Everybody else is doing it. All this is just justifying a sinful lifestyle, but it leads to sex out of control. Sex out of control. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. That word helpful, of course, meaning beneficial, good, profitable. You can do whatever you want to do, but you've got to understand there is a law called sowing and reaping. And that law says whatsoever you reap, that will you sow. It comes back. And you can pray for all the crop failure you want to pray for, but beloved, it comes back. And what happens is it leads to a broken society. As I thought about the conditions of Corinth, and I looked and considered the conditions of that we live in the United States of America today, it just seems so familiar. So Paul was dealing with the same thing that we're dealing with. Because it leads to a broken society. You see, in our society today, because people have this mentality of if it feels good, do it. There are over 1 million abortions in the United States of America in a year. I think it's like 1.2 million. That is a lot. Oh, and the excuse given is, it's my body. I can do whatever I want to. Listen, it's your body. And you make your choice when you have sex. Okay? But don't kill a baby. Don't. I want to tell you, there's nothing more precious than a baby. Just hold one and tell me, that's not God. And a baby's a baby. Baby's a baby when that baby's conceived. Okay, not when he's born. I've seen the what are they, the ultrasounds? I think that's the old-fashioned term. They call them something else now. Oh, but man, you see really quickly, that's a baby inside that mother. But this has led to not only abortions out of control, it's led to sex trafficking out of control. Well, I mean, any sex trafficking is out of control. But do you realize sex trafficking is a $58 billion a year industry? $58 billion. And you say, Brother Doug, how can that be? It's because there are people who are participating and paying that there is an industry called sex trafficking. Do you realize that the average prostitute makes her pimp over $250,000 in a year? One prostitute. $3,000 is spent every second on pornography. $3,000 in a second. That's a lot of money. In any given second throughout the day, there are 28,000 people on the internet on porn sites. In a sec, 28,000 in a second. And you say, Brother Doug, it's just terrible. It's a bad world that we live in. It's a shame. But do you realize it's not just the world, it's in our churches. You see, that's the heartbreaking part. Is God's people are affected by the very same out-of-control sex standard that seems to be ruling the world. There are hundreds of thousands of men and women sitting in churches this morning that have visited the porn sites within the last week. There are thousands of teens sitting in churches this morning who have been sexting in the last month. You want to know why there's no morality in our country? Because there's no morality in our churches. You see, we've made excuse. It's okay. Everybody's doing it. I don't see anything wrong with it. It's my life. But it doesn't justify anything. And the reality is, and get this, let me get your attention. People are hurting more now than they've ever hurt before. People are more lonely right now than they've ever been before. People do not know how to have a relationship. People do not enjoy. I mean, this is the United States of America. We have a wonderful life and we don't know how to enjoy it. It's because sin is taking over. Just like it was in Corinth. As I said in the beginning, boy, I don't want to spend all the time just harping on the negative. I want to move on to the positive. But before we do, I want you to know sin does not work. Okay? When you do it your way as opposed to God's way, there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. Okay? So here's the thing. We have got to be spiritually strong in a sexual society. We have got to take a stand. And by stand, I don't mean break out the stones and start throwing rocks and hating people. That's not the point, okay? Listen, we should not accept the sin of this world. But we can't hate people either, okay? For us to start building a relationship, a life that's worth living, and having purity in that life, we have to begin by understanding the biblical characteristics of sex. Okay? What's the point of sex? Number one, sex is relational. Sex is relational. It is between two people, not two animals. Okay? You know what I'm saying? It is between two people, a man and a woman, not two animals with out of control lust. Genesis chapter 2 verse 24, we're told, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Do you see the relationship there? In today's society, there are a lot of phrases like friends with benefits, hooking up, and you go on and on. But it's empty. God created us to have relationships. And that relationship is in a marriage. And in that, in that marriage, you share a part of yourself that you do not share with anyone else in this world. That's what sex is. It is a sharing of the most deepest part of who you are physically with your wife. It's what was meant when He said, they shall be one flesh. They shall be joined together. Sex without a marriage relationship is just lust. Sex is covenantal, meaning two people in a covenant relationship. Malachi chapter 2 verse 14, God was speaking to them, to the children of Israel, and He says, you've dealt treacherously with your wives, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Meaning you have entered into a one man, one woman, one lifetime covenant relationship. Nothing's going to come between you and that and your wife. I want to tell you, there's nothing like having someone that you can depend on in this life. Okay? And sex is a part of sharing okay, with that covenant of being there with one another, going through hard times and easy times, the mountains and the valleys, and it's part of what makes that marriage relationship special. It's intended to be a part of the covenant relationship between a man and a woman. You hear terms today like going all the way. Well, we're going to go all the way. Oh, let me tell you something. You hadn't gone all the way till you put a ring on that finger. Okay? You want to go all the way. You fight the battles of life with that person that you claim to love. You put a ring on that finger and let that person know you're going to be there through thick and through thin. That even the devil himself can't run you off. I've heard people say, and I love where it's coming from. I don't remember who I heard say, his preacher one time said, I've told my wife, if she leaves, I'm going with her. You know? It's covenant. It's covenant. I've got your back, you've got mine. See, that's what sex is supposed to be a part of. Not only is sex covenantal, sex is intimate. Intimacy. Again, Genesis 2:24, they will become one flesh. I mean, it's sharing. Again, a closeness that you cannot share with anyone else, and you can't get any other way. Sex is intended to be fruitful, meaning that's where we get children from. Now, that's not to say that sex always produces children, but God told Adam and Eve, go, multiply, fill the earth. And listen, this should be the first step. If you're, and I say this with love, okay? But if you're a homosexual, this would be your first step of realizing your lifestyle's wrong. Okay? God has made life to be between a man and a woman, and marriage to be between one man and one woman for one lifetime. Don't mess with God's plan because it does not work. Here's the big one. Sex is selfless, not selfish. Sex is selfless. It's not about looking at this really hot girl and pursuing her. Or the other way around. Girls, you know, looking at this really hot guy. I've never seen a hot guy, but anyway. You know what I mean, right? You know, that's lust. Sex is when it's about your wife. If like it's for me. If you're a woman, sex is when it's about your husband. Where do I get that? 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 3. This is really interesting. Some of you are going to read this and say, But look what he says. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And the men are thinking, that's right. But read the other part. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Uh-oh. Do you see the mutual? It's not about me. It's about her. That has to be my attitude. Her attitude has to be, it's not about her. It's about me. And when sex is anything outside of the marital relationship, it's selfishness. It is fulfilling, lustful, I want this, and I. And see, as children of God, that's one of the first things we have to do is get over the I. Okay? You realize this life is not about me anymore. It's to the glory of God. Now, can I stand up here and tell you that I always put Beth first? No, I can't do that. I wish I could, but I can't. But it gives me something I need to be working on. And it does make me realize I belong to her. And I hope it makes her realize she belongs to me. And my goal should be her joy. Her goal should be my joy. Not one ounce of selfishness. You see, that's when sex becomes good. Sex is not only selfless, sex is complementing. By complementing, I mean a man with a woman, a man with his wife. Listen. God made us male and female. All right? And to do anything sexual outside that boundary is to be, well, as God would put it, an abomination. Leviticus 20:13. If a man lie with a man, as with a woman, it is an abomination. Why? Because God did it right the first time. Don't try to mess it up, okay? Don't try to mess it up. And as I said, you know, if we back up and look at this, we begin to realize God's not trying to ruin my life and keep me from having fun. God's not trying to mess my life up. He's trying to make my life good. And He is. He's trying to make my life good. You have to understand, to begin with, the idea behind sex. Second thing you need to understand in this society that you live in is how to flee, how to run. You know, in verse 18 it does say, flee sexual immorality. What does flee mean? What? Run. 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 I want to tell you something. Sometimes you can get into situations that are just almost more than you can handle. I don't care if you're male, female, I don't care who you are. You can be backed in a corner and your only option is to run. You remember Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Repeatedly, day after day, she makes advances with him till she finally come to the point where she laid her hands on him and says, look, you're going to sleep with me. And Joseph, he come out of his coat, and what did he do? Let's all say it together. He come out of his coat and he ran. He got out. Why? Because he was being pushed to the limit. No, wasn't working. He got out. Let me tell you something. It's okay to run. As a matter of fact, I highly recommend it if you're put in that situation where you're uncomfortable. Men, this woman's making you uncomfortable when you're with her alone. Do not get with me with her alone. Okay? You control that. If you never put yourself in that position, you will never have to say no. Okay? There are times when women, you're uncomfortable around that guy. You know he's flirting. He's getting a little too handsy. Run. Get out. Well, I don't want to offend him. Offend that rascal. Okay? Do not put yourself in that position. Chapter 7, verse 1. Paul says, now concerning the things of which I wrote, or you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You know what he means there? What he means there, that word touch literally means burn or ignite. You know what I'm talking about now, okay? You don't touch a woman in a way where it starts a fire. You don't touch a woman with intent. Women, it's, you put yourself in the same position. Keep your hands to yourself. Okay? Don't allow teenagers, college students, don't allow yourself to be in that position. Okay? Just seal the door. No, I'm not going here. And when you're uncomfortable, don't stay there uncomfortable. It's not only okay to say no, it's required of us as children of God. Learn to flee. And then remember, you are not your own. You are not your own. You do not belong to yourself. As I said earlier, we've got to lose the I mentality. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Well, I deserve to be happy. Yes, you do. And the only way you're going to be happy is to follow Jesus. Okay? He says your bodies are members of Christ. You know what that means? Literally, that word members in the Greek means body parts like hand, foot, legs. You know? And when it says your body is members of Christ, that you are the hands and feet of Christ. And you hear that all the time, don't you? You know, we're the hands and feet of Christ. You ever heard that? Do you take the hands and feet of Christ somewhere where Christ does not belong? Let me give you an exciting fact. When you were saved, you became the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. That's why he says in the text, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, you've got to decide where you're going to take God. Are you looking at porn? You're taking God inside the porn industry. Teenager, are you sexually active? Brother Doug, don't ask that. I'm not asking you to give me an answer. I'm asking you to think about it. And while you're thinking about it, think about this. You're taking God with you wherever you go. Can you, as a teenager, be sexually active and look God in the eye and say, yeah, you belong here? The answer is no, you can't. No, you can't. Oh, listen, as I think about this and I read, for you were bought with a price. You were bought with a price. Jesus gave His life so that He could give you life. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Everywhere you go, you take God with you. Okay? Every situation, God is there. Now, do you want to take Him any place He doesn't belong? I certainly hope not. You may be here today, and I know this has been a touchy subject, and quite honestly, I'm glad, you know, that this is the fourth message and we can move on from this subject matter that we've been on for the last few weeks. But I do want to tell you this. It's included in the Word of God for a reason. We need direction on these matters. And as we look into the Word of God, we need to take this direction seriously to heart. Now's the time to decide who you're going to be. You see, we're told there, your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit. You're bought with a price. Now you've got to decide who you're going to be. Are you going to be the child of God that He's called you to be? Are you going to take your stand and flee immorality? Or are you going to be like the rest of the world and live like a Corinthian? Please know this. The last few months, my heart is broke as I've watched and heard people make bad choices. Knowing this is not going to turn out well. Being totally honest, where you are right now, you know deep down inside that if you're living a sinful, immoral lifestyle, this is not going to turn out well. Why? Because you reap what you sow. You can't change the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. What I do, Brother Doug, you repent. Change directions. Go the other way. I promise you, anything that I have said this morning has not been to point a finger at anyone, accuse anyone. It has been from a heart of love and caring, saying, man, don't go down this road. Don't go down this road. It's not going to end well. But you're the only one that makes the choice. Number one, are you saved? Are you a child of God? Number two, do you live it? Do you take your stand publicly? Whatever your spiritual need is, will you let Jesus have His way? Will you just surrender your all to Jesus today? Our Father in heaven, thank You. Sometimes, Lord, we're tempted. And we're put into situations that we don't need to be. Give us the courage to take a stand, Lord, for You. And let that stand not be a stand that preaches and promotes hatred, but rather a stand that, from a heart of love, displays Your righteousness to the world. Lord Jesus, now I pray that You'll move among us through the power of Your Holy Spirit. Convict us of sin. Help us to respond appropriately to You. In Jesus' name, amen.